Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello? Hello? Is anyone there?
Okay, I'm going to let you out if you'll quit whining.
Hello? Let me out of here. Oh, wow.
Get out!
Let's podcast, Bill Lack. I'm back. If you listen to last week's episode,
here he comes again.
You know that Bill Lack and Jason Linden, my good buddies, took over the podcast for a week. It was a hostile takeover, a bloodless coup, and they did a fine job on the podcast. But I'm back again to talk about the Cincinnati Reds. Bill, that was a fun episode. I enjoyed listening to you and Jason get together and discuss the old Reds.
Yeah, we did okay. You know, there were a couple of little spots where each of us was waiting for the other one to say something. You know, we didn't have that smooth Dotson hosting abilities. So, but I think we did okay.
Well, after 275 episodes here of the World's Most Dangerous Podcast, you know, maybe we're starting to figure something out. So you learned that it's not so easy sitting in my chair.
Well, you know, I'm too wide for your chair.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 275 of Red Leg Nation Radio. As I said, the world's most dangerous podcast. I'm Chad Dotson. With me again this week, the godfather, Bill Lack. And Bill, never a dull moment around these Cincinnati Reds. I feel like we say that a lot, and it's always true, right?
There's always something to talk about. I mean, you know, we could, you know, one of the things I think we'll talk about later is the David Hernandez game the other night where David Bell just seemed to manage against his style.
Let's go ahead, since you brought it up, let's go ahead and dig into that one. Of course, that's the first game of the Milwaukee series. The Reds right now, as we stand, and we're recording this a day early this week. It's a holiday week. Happy Independence Day to everyone, and celebrate safely. Don't blow off any fingers with fireworks. But the Reds sit 5.5 games out of first place as we record this, and you'd have to say, if you'd asked last year, or at the beginning of the year, I guess, and said, if the Reds, after halfway through the season, basically, which is where we are, essentially, just past the halfway point of the season, the Reds are 5.5 games out of first place, would you take that? And to me, the answer is yes, right? Wouldn't you take that?
I can't imagine anybody in their right mind that wouldn't have said, oh, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, we are in last place right now, but still in the race. And that's why games like the first game of the Milwaukee series that you just referenced are so frustrating. We've had so many of these frustrating games. In that game, of course, the Reds lost after jumping out to a lead, and Tyler Mahle was pitching well, pitched into the seventh inning. And first of all, it's rare for David Bell to allow a pitcher to go that deep into a game when you're looking at the third time through the lineup, and then it just all fell apart. What was he doing that night? What was going on?
You and I were tweeting, we were text messaging each other during the infamous David Hernandez blowout, and neither one of us could figure out what he was doing. It was like somebody had him tied up in the dugout. And he couldn't get to the phone. He couldn't get to the steps. I mean, they just left him out there. I mean, now you find out later that they, you know, somebody told me, and I don't remember if it was you or somebody else, said that they had said earlier that Iglesias was unavailable. And then the next day in the paper, it also said that Garrett was unavailable.
Okay, well,
there's still a whole bunch of other guys out in the bullpen that we could have brought in there.
Yeah, they carry 16 relievers on this roster, right?
I thought it was 18.
Yeah. Well, let me break it down. Here's the way it went. The Reds are up 3-0 going into the seventh, coming off winning a series against the first-place Cubs, 2 out of 3, and really ready to get off to a good start in this series against the Brewers. Tyler Mahle has been brilliant up to this point through 6 innings. But then we get to the top of the seventh, and it's the third time through the lineup, and Lorenzo Cain leads off with a home run against Mahle. let's see. Next batter was it was an infield single, but Eric Thames reached on a single. So then, you know, it's the third time through the lineup thing, which I'm surprised that Bell even left him on there, but out there for that. But after that, he replaces him with David Hernandez, and Hernandez allows a single, allows a double, scored a run, did get a fly ball out, then walked in a run, and then allowed a single to score another run. And then I left a sacrifice fly to score yet another run, and a 3-0 lead was 6-3 by the time David Hernandez finished vomiting all over the mound. And again, there was no, throughout that inning, David Bell didn't even have anyone warming up in the bullpen. Yeah. It blew me away. I mean, there was literally no one even up there in the pen.
It's so contrary to the way he's managed all year that I just don't get it. I don't know where, you know, what was going on that night. My guess is there were more guys unavailable than they were willing to say, which is hard to believe. Is, you know, and I they said this last night on the broadcast. Hughes has kind of become a forgotten man in the bullpen. It's like they don't trust him. And his numbers, you know, have been very good. And clutch situation, you know, and like you said, they didn't even have anybody up. Yeah, the whole thing just absolutely made no sense to me. And, you know, and as every Reds fan in the world that was watching the game was screaming at his television going, go get him!
It's funny to me because, you know, I think David Bell's doing a pretty good job right now based on what we can judge him by. And I don't have a problem. I don't like the way it looks, all the pitching changes that he likes to do. We've discussed this here on the podcast before. I think just aesthetically it's ugly. It's not pleasing to me viewing the game. But I think that's a big reason why the Reds pitching staff, starters and relievers, have been so effective this year is that he's done a good job putting them in positions to be successful and getting them out before they get into trouble. And that's caused a lot of people around, you know, Reds Twitter and Reds fans in general just to be frustrated with David Bell because he's managing in a way that a lot of other managers are managing these days around the league, but we've never seen in Cincinnati before. And it was just like an about face all of a sudden. And that's what you've been asking for, I guess, a lot of people.
He became Dusty Baker.
He really did there for just a moment. I'm going to let him work his way out of this.
You know, and like I said, I agree with you. I'm overall pretty happy with the job Bell's doing. You know, there are things that I don't understand, and we're going to get into some of that a little bit later when we talk about Scooter. Overall, I think he's got this team playing hard. They're competitive every night. They've lost a lot of one-run games. And if you flip half of those, this team is fighting for the division title.
Yeah, and it's the thing we've been saying. We don't need to belabor it too much, but we've been saying it. They're definitely better than the record shows. But games like that one kind of remind you, this is why they're kind of still just a 500-ish team. But here's what I wanted to ask you, because this is something we talked about early in the season here on the podcast, Bill, and I kind of disagreed with you a little bit. I pushed back some on it, but I wondered if you had a thought during that inning, and you just mentioned that maybe there were more guys unavailable. Is this a symptom of the fact that he's quote-unquote overworking some of these guys out in the bullpen? You remember our discussion about that a number of times earlier in the year.
Yeah, and I still, you know, only time will tell, and I hope that it ends up with you being right, and you're on one side, and I know Steve Mancuso doesn't think they are being, and I, you know, and a couple other guys I've read on Twitter don't think they are, but I would like to see a trend curve and see whether they, you know, is the bullpen ERA going up? Is the amount of runners per game? Inherited runners allowing to score, is that going up? Are we seeing any kind of a trend here, or are we just seeing, you know, a blip, you know, where they're struggling here for a couple of weeks and they're going to settle down and be, but, you know, only time will tell.
Well, that was the first game that I saw, and I thought, oh, you know what, if there are a lot of guys unavailable, that would explain it, and that would maybe fit into what you were wondering about earlier. Let's talk about a couple of the news items.
Before we get off this, I was thinking about something the other day, and I wanted to ask you what you thought about this, because they were talking about if the trend becomes that the starters are not really, and I'm talking about baseball wide, not just with the Reds, if the, they're not really going to get through the third time in the rotation. So you're really looking at trying to get three plus innings out of your bullpen every night. You're going to start seeing them. Are you? You think you're going to start seeing them carry more pitchers? And also, like what we've talked about, the Dodgers did in the past. You would stock your bullpen, I would think, with young guys with a lot of options, and you could just turn it into a rotation. You get a good group of guys in relief at AAA, and when guys are unavailable at the big leagues, you rotate them out, and you end up with, 14 relievers, but it's not always the same guys.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. At the very least, I think you're right. I think that I think we're seeing the beginnings of some of those changes here in Cincinnati with the number of relievers they carry. And I do sort of like the Dodgers model, although it's going to be frustrating for a lot of guys, but maybe three guys at the back of the pen, two or three guys are just, and you got two or three guys in Louisville and they're just on the interstate back and forth, send them up and down so that you've got fresh arms every night. It's
the guys that will really not like it are the veteran guys that are a little more expensive that a lot of teams won't want because they won't be able to help this rotation that they want to do.
Yeah. Well, speaking of veteran guys, that moves right into the first news item for the week that I want to discuss. And I said the Reds actually cut bait on Zach Duke this week. Of course, the Reds signed Duke, the left-handed reliever, 36 years old, to a free agent contract in the offseason, a couple million dollars, and he has been not good, and the Reds actually cut bait on him, designated him for assignment. There's an expectation that he will not be claimed and that he will not accept a demotion to Louisville, so he will likely become a free agent. Were you surprised that the Reds cut bait on Zach Duke?
No, I was kind of surprised they didn't do it earlier. You didn't think they'd do it at all. I remember earlier in the year we were talking about this, and you were talking about, they wouldn't cut him because of $2.5 million.
Well, I still am having trouble believing that it's a new regime in place that's not going to act like the old guys, because they never would have in the past.
No, I agree with you. But you know what? And again, talking about these young guys, we're talking about this game earlier where Hernandez was struggling the other day, and that was the day that they cut Duke.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and Hergett was here, so we know he was available. Now, I'm not saying that you necessarily want to throw this kid in, his first game in the big leagues, to bail out Hernandez, but if you don't have anybody else available and he's out there getting pounded, throw the kid out there and see what he's got.
No, I agree. And he fits the pattern of the kind of guys that would be on the escalator up and down to AAA in the back of the bullpen, Hergett.
And I don't know how he's pitched lately down there. Jason would probably know better than I do because he lives down that way, but his numbers are not really, really good this year.
No, but he has had good. He has had success in the past, and he's a guy that I thought we'd see here eventually.
Yeah, and we wish you. We're really. I'm excited to see him, and I hope he becomes a long time member of the Reds bullpen.
We need relievers. What about Robert Stevenson? Where was he that night?
Well, he did pitch that night.
Yeah, why didn't he pitch six batters earlier?
Yeah. Of course, he did end up giving up a home run and giving up two runs in the ninth inning. So.
Bill, I'm trying to vent here. Don't drop facts on me.
I'm sorry. I'll keep the logic to myself.
Okay. The other big news item of the week, not that the Zach Duke was a particularly big news item. It's big for him and his family, I'm sure. And thank you for two stints now with the Reds, Zach Duke. The other big news is...
But before we get off of Zach
Every Duke, time I try to mention news, you're interrupting me. Now, do I need to remind you that I'm out of the closet and I'm running this show now?
Well, we can always put you back in the closet.
Okay, go ahead.
But from everything I've read and everything I've heard, the Zach Duke is a quality individual, lot for the community, blah, blah, blah. And thank you for what you did for Cincinnati and for the Reds while you were here.
Over the years, that's something that I guess you become more aware of these guys that, it really started occurring to me around the time Corey Patterson was here. And he was just hammered in all corners. And I was very critical of his play as well. But, man, that guy played hard every day. Zach Duke, you know what? He tried his best every single second he was here with the Reds. He's just not good enough anymore, but there's no reason to hate the guy and scream for his job or whatever. I try not to do that. So I agree. Thank you for your service, Zach Duke, to the Cincinnati Reds organization. Now, can I get into the other news item I wanted to mention?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'll sit over here and be very quiet.
That'll be the first time ever.
You know better than that, brother.
They announced the All-Star teams this week, and the Reds, disappointingly, I guess, only had one player named to the All-Star team, and it was the guy that we all expected to be named. Starting pitcher Luis Castillo, the 26-year-old right-hander, getting his first National League All-Star nod. No surprises, I presume, that Castillo made the team, and are you as happy as I am that he's going to be there in Cleveland for the All-Star game?
Yeah, I hope he doesn't pitch. I'm not the All-Star game fanatic that you are, and I don't want my pitcher pitching in games that don't count.
I love me some All-Star game.
I know you do. I outgrew that in like 1971.
Well, I hadn't grown at all in 1971. Luis Castillo, man, I love everything about the All-Star game. I'm going to love seeing him there when they do the introductions. And it seems like every year around this time, I go into my gooey All-Star game love phase because I don't know, it's an exhibition and who cares, but I've always loved it and I still do. And I'm still a little upset that the Reds only got one player on the team. Were you surprised they only got one?
Not really. Anytime that, as long as they have this, you know, every team has to have an All-Star rule, then somebody's going to get shorted, and the teams that are going to get shorted are teams that are at the bottom of the divisions.
True, but last year the Reds were the worst team in the history of organized baseball. That includes all the way down to Little League. And the Reds had three All-Stars last year.
Yeah, that's a good you're right, but this year's their turn in the barrel, apparently.
Yeah, I was hoping to get another one. And the one specifically I was hoping they would get is a guy that I wrote about for Cincinnati Magazine today, my weekly column there, Amir Garrett. You know, Amir was very vocal about the fact that he wanted to make the All-Star team. That's one of his own personal goals. And I thought he had a really good chance. I still think he should have been there. I guess I wasn't surprised given the fact that he's not a closer. But I was disappointed that Garrett didn't make it. How much do you love Amir Garrett is the first question I have for you.
Man, I tell you what, I think he is fun to watch. And if he ever gets his walk rate down, he's going to be one of the best in baseball.
That's the only thing standing between him and being one of the
absolutely.
I got to look at the numbers as I was writing this piece and just blew me away. ERA 1.7, of course, that's second best among relievers. His strikeout rate, ground ball rate, way up. And then I started looking at the StatCast numbers, and only two pitchers in the entire National League have been more successful at limiting barrels. That's basically when a guy barrels a hard hit ball. Only two pitchers have been more successful than him. People are not making hard contact against him. The expected slugging percentage against him, based on how hard his opponents have hit the ball against him, is .261, which is in the top 1% of pitchers in either league. So he's got that gorgeous slider. He has that that fastball. And the slider last night. Did you get to watch him last night in the second game of the Brewers
yes.
series? Oh, my goodness. He was making the Brewers look silly.
He made it look pretty easy last night. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. So
are you a little surprised at the way that the Reds are using he and Lorenzen?
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's he and Lorenzen and Iglesias. I mean, it's like he's picked, you know, and I like it myself. It's like he's picking. I don't know if he's picking what he feels like is a hot hand, or if he's going with some analytics thing that I'm not quite following, or what. But I'm liking the fact that he seems to pick a guy each night for the high leverage situations. It's not always the same guy.
It's good to have more than one guy. And I think he's changed that up a little bit here lately after Rosell Iglesias complained about not getting his saves. But, I think he's doing a good job mixing that up. I can't say that I'm surprised because I don't know that what I expected from David Bell, but I'm pleased. It would be a better term. Amir Garrett should be complaining about not getting saves because to me, that's the only reason he didn't make the All-Star team. Three relievers were picked. Three relievers have to be picked in the player vote, and all three were closers. Will Smith from the Giants, Kirby Yates, the Padres, Josh Hader from the Brewers. and they all have, you know, 20 plus saves. Amir Garrett has zero. And so that's really the only thing I could figure out as to why he wasn't in the All-Star game. But let me ask you before we get off the Amir Garrett discussion, because I'm trying to make the case in my my piece that you know, MLB, that's Major League Baseball, Bill. MLB.
Okay. Can I write that down?
Yes.
MLB.
I'm surprised you can spell that.
I had to take off my shoes.
As MLB is trying to engage younger fans, it seems to me that Amir Garrett should be one of the faces of the Reds and of baseball. Here's a guy that's dominant on the mound, but he's also a guy that has fun out there. He's a former college basketball player at what used to be a big-time program. He plays a lot of Fortnite, which the kids love these days. He's funny. He's engaging. He's demonstrative on the field. He has fun. To me, he's everything that's right about baseball. And that's a guy MLB should want on their national stage at the All-Star game. To me, am I overstating the case?
No, but you're also a Reds fan. I would be willing to bet that the guys that are, you know, Hader and the guy, you know, the other guys, the other relievers, they're probably quality people and blah, 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 too. And if you asked a Padres fan or a Giants fan or a Brewers fan, they would say the same things about their guys that you just said about Garrett.
Two things. Those guys all deserve to make the All-Star team that I mentioned. I can't argue that Garrett, I think he's as good as any of them, but those guys are worthy. But none of those guys are as good at Fortnite as Amir Garrett.
Bobby Nightingale just tweeted that Scooter Jeanette has been pulled from the game after four innings with no explanation.
Well, I guess that leads us into the second thing we're going to talk about.
Yes, it does.
Might as well dig right into it. Scooter Jeanette's back. Had you noticed?
Yeah, I've seen all the outs he's been making.
He has not been playing well since his return. And matter of fact, going into tonight, he was hitting 118.
He was like 2-for-17 or something, wasn't he?
2-for-17, hasn't drawn a walk. Two measly singles.
And one of them was an infield dumper.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, okay, you know, we're talking about
at least one error. He made an error tonight.
I don't think they charged him with an error tonight on that, but it was a garbage throw. And then on the next,
he threw it so far past Votto, he couldn't even get a glove on it.
Yeah, it was awful.
So he did make a nice play getting to the ball. To be fair,
he did. Then the next batter. It was hit to him, and he couldn't get to it. He dove past him. He dove, yep. And it went past him. He didn't have enough range to get there. But anyway, again, we're just talking about five games, basically. But Scooter Jeanette has been bad, and now he's been pulled from the game. That's going to be really interesting to see exactly what the story is there. Is he hugging anyone in the dugout?
They haven't shown it. All I saw was the tweet from Nightingale.
It might be time for the Hug Watch 2019 because, you know, if they get traded in the middle of a game, they pull him out and they go hug all their teammates. Maybe he's been traded. Maybe he's...
I would tend to think it was a re-injury, but...
Well, that'll solve one problem, and it'll create a bigger problem for Scooter Jeanette personally.
Yeah. You never wish anything like that on anybody. I hope it's no big deal. Maybe it's just a little soreness or he got traded or something like that. But, you know, and God, I'm as far from a Major League Baseball hitting coach as you can possibly be, but his bat just looks really slow to me.
You also wondered aloud, I think I saw earlier today, whether the Reds may have pushed him back too quickly. What makes you think that?
Well, he looks so awful, and the big thing to me was the bat looked really, really slow. And why in the world he was hitting in a four hole tonight? It is beyond my ability to grasp. And Tom Brenneman, in typical Tom Brenneman form, says, "Oh, they're going to get him going. Yeah, let's get him going by giving him more at bats in the four hole."
Is that worse than having Jesse Winker starting in center field?
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad Jesse Winker's starting center field and leading off. That's good. Scooter, this has been sort of the question hanging over this podcast for the last 3 years. What do we do with Scooter? And it's still a question, and I don't know the answer to it. It's the conundrum, as far as I can tell, with this team. Tyler Doyle had a viewer mail question for us from patreon.com/RedLegNationRadio. Will you guys talk about Scooter and his lack of production since coming up? You got it, Tyler. We just did.
Oh, man. Now, he sounds like a second baseman. Tyler Doyle, doesn't that sound like a second baseman to you?
Ooh, maybe a shortstop that had to slide over to second base.
He got a little older. Knees started to go. Yeah. You know, had to move him over. But he can make the pivot. He can make the pivot.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what to do with Scooter Gennett.
Well, Jason and I talked a little bit about this last week, I believe. I think there is zero chance that the Reds sign him to an extension.
Yep.
If they were going to sign him to an extension, they'd have done it by now. Because he was chomping at the bit for an extension he claimed that he was going to get an extension, you know, what was it, halfway through last year.
Well, he'd been talking to the owner about that.
Yeah, and that was the old front office.
Yeah. I mean, you sort of feel like when he comes back, he's healthy, he's going to play because he's Scooter, and he has been a good hitter since joining the Reds.
He's been a very productive player for this team.
Yeah. And the guy he's really competing with, because Jose Peraza's just kind of disappeared, the guy he's competing with for those second base innings is Derek Dietrich, who's also a 29-year-old, slightly younger, but the same age essentially. And, you know, he's just hitting .223, although much more productive across the board, certainly .351 on base. He's drawn some walks. He's hit a bunch of home runs. He's cooled off recently, but still a productive hitter. And neither of them can play defense very well. So, but you kind of figure Scooter's going to play a lot, and Dietrich's going to move around to other positions, and he'll get his at-bats as well. But if you're not going to re-sign him, and you're not going to be able to trade him, I don't know. Play him through the end of this year and just say good luck to you, I guess.
Yeah. You know, and as you said, the guy that suffers through the most through all this is Peraza.
That's what bothers me. He's fallen off the cliff, but he's just 25, and I'm not as high on him as Jason Linden is, certainly, but still think he's got a chance of being a guy, although I like him more as a utility guy, super sub, playing 5 days a week all around the field. But, you know, I think if I'm the manager of this team, I probably am starting Scooter Gennett 5 days a week at second base. Peraza and Dietrich can play other positions, and you get him in the lineup, but Scooter's been so good, you got to think he's going to come around eventually. I think I probably, if I'm David Bell, I do.
Of course, you know, the other thing with that is, you know, we've got a lot of guys that we keep saying are going to come around, and they still aren't at the numbers on their baseball card.
Not yet, but some of those guys are coming around.
They are coming around, and we got two in particular.
Those two are Kurt Casale and Matt Kemp.
No.
No, Matt Kemp's not coming back around. He didn't like it here.
No. And it's not Brandon Phillips because he's playing independent league baseball somewhere.
I saw that.
Yeah. I bet he can still pick it, though.
I bet he can. I'm sure. I'm afraid what Scooter Gennett's going to run into is that baseball's gotten so much smarter since the Reds handed that contract to Brandon Phillips, that extension. Although he was roughly worth what his extension was. I'm not trying to criticize Brandon Phillips on that. But I don't see teams making those deals for 30-year-old middle infielders, these, especially those with an injury history.
If he gets a 3-year deal, I'd be shocked. I think he may not even get it. I mean, look at what Iglesias and Dietrich ran into.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, Gennett may get one somewhere for not a lot of money. Well, not a lot of money for a big league player, but right. – But it would not surprise me either if the Reds or if Gennett had to sign a minor league deal somewhere before next season. That's how crazy the free agent system has gotten.
Yeah, the more you talk about it, the more I tend to agree with you. I think that, I almost think, unless the free agent market changes from where it's been the last 2 years, you know, swings back in the other direction, I think that's exactly what he's probably looking at.
Yeah, it's just not valued on the free agent market right now, what he brings to the table. But then again, you look at Dietrich and you look at Jose Iglesias, and you're like, well, those are guys that can still help a team. Scooter Gennett can still help a team if he's in the right spot. I think he can help an American League team where he can play second base and DH and just, you know, basically hit against right-handers. And I think he can really help your team. As an everyday second baseman, I'm just not sure going forward that any team's going to be willing to permit that. So in certain nonsense, and a lot of people don't want to hear that, but Scooter's days in Cincinnati are probably coming to an end, but it's been a fun run. You know, I'm going to have fond memories of Scooter Jeanette. He hit 4 home runs in one game.
And, you know, and you don't help your value when your injury costs you half a season in your contract year.
Yep, absolutely. Hashed Brown, Alex Wood. Should say that Alex Wood, that's another piece of news we didn't get to a moment ago. Alex Wood looked like he was coming back, then had another setback. But is supposedly still dealing with some lower back soreness, suffered a little bit of a setback, was supposedly going to pitch again soon off a mound. So who knows? I don't know what to say about Alex Wood.
I'm at the point on Alex Wood, and I'm like, I don't even want to hear about Alex Wood until he's pitching in a rehab start in the minor leagues.
It's like Sean Marshall back in the day.
I don't even want to hear about him.
Well, I do want to hear about him. I want his value to drop so much that the Reds can sign him really cheaply.
Yeah, I know that's your thing, but backs scare me. If somebody's had a bad back for 25 years, bad backs scare me.
The guys that have come around, first of all, let's talk about Joey Votto.
Yes.
Joey Votto's numbers now across the board, he's an above league average hitter, despite, you know, about 6 weeks ago, he was just, he was in the toilet. So Joey Votto returned out of nowhere. What about that?
He's doing okay. I mean, he's, you know.
I let myself get suckered in because he is, you know, 48 years old now.
In the last month, his OPS is 947.
That's not so bad.
I mean, he's got his slugging percentage last month. Actually, the last 2 weeks, it was 535, and the last 28 days, it's 537. So that means, you know, it's not just 2 weeks he's been hitting. He's been hitting good, you know, solidly for the last month and hitting the ball hard.
Last 2 months, he's hitting 305. On-base percentage is nearer 400. I mean, he was just so bad early on. And, I fell into the trap of saying this guy's – because he didn't look good. He'll tell you that his swing looked awful, but he's looked more like the confident Joey Votto over the last 6 weeks or so, and it's been fun to watch.
His slugging percentage in June was 506.
That's good. Is he ever gonna be a power hitter again? Probably not. But he's good enough, and everything else he does very well. Ideal number two hitter.
He's helping him right now. I mean, there ain't no doubt about that.
The other guy that has come around. Oh, man. Your guy, Yasiel Puig.
I know.
Yasiel Puig in the last 28
wild
days.
Wild horses, man. Wild horses.
Wild horse. Last 28 days, 329 average, 391 on base, 684 slugging. That's basically a month of an OPS at almost 1,100.
Yeah, he's almost got his OPS. His OPS plus is at 91 and climbing.
Yeah, yeah. And, again, that's a situation where it was so bad early on. That's kind of amazing.
If he was a stock, you'd want to buy.
I think so, because he's certainly ascending now. And that's a question that we had on the hashtag viewer mail, which is Yasiel Puig. This question is from Kyle Kapler at Team Captain 08 asks, contract extension – qualifying offer or contract extension for Puig, assuming he is not traded this month, and why? So, the thing about, and we also had from the Three Old Reds Fans podcast, good podcast, asked, would you offer Puig a contract? And if so, how many years? Is 5 too many? I tweeted last night just after that, and if you didn't see it, you've surely seen the highlights by now. Puig made a wild dash from first base. Really fun to watch, to score the winning run in extra innings against Milwaukee last night. He was barreling around second base and then really alert. And the ball got away as he hit third. And he took off for home and scored ahead of the throw. It was amazing. And I said, sign him to an extension right this second. But I know our buddy Jason Linden has been very vocal about signing him to an extension. What do you think? Should they do that?
I will say this about Puig. And I think Branham and Tom, I think Tom said it last night at the end of the ball game. You know, you can say what you want to say about whatever happened in Los Angeles. He has done nothing but play hard every second that he's been on the field for the Reds. I can't remember one play that he took off since the season started. Would I like to keep him around? Yes. But I have to admit that I have concerns about a guy that admits before the season that once he got his last contract, he didn't play as hard. That's concerning to me.
Sure, it now, should
maybe,
be.
Maybe he's gotten older and matured, but he wouldn't be the first guy in the world that signed a big deal and you know relaxed and regressed. But you can only base it on what he does for you, and he's doing everything you can ask out of a ball player right now.
That absolutely should be a concern. I think you're absolutely right, but I like the way that Chris Garber put it on Twitter last night. Chris Garber, of course, one of the authors of the fabulous book, The Big 50, The Men and Moments That Made the Cincinnati Reds, available everywhere you buy fine books. Chris Garber said, the advance billing of a player has never been as wrong as it was for Yasiel Puig. I'm not sure there's been a harder playing Red since Ryan Friel. And then that mad dash last night was a very smart baseball play. He's right. I mean, everything we've seen.
Yeah, and I said on Twitter last night that I noticed when they showed in one of the replays, he made that play from third base on his own. He got no help from the third base coach. He was just standing there watching the game.
Oh, yeah. He was being held up by the third base coach.
So he made that all that decision-making and instinct was all his own. He was not told to go. I'm not even sure he was told to hold up. I didn't see the third base coach do anything.
Oh, I thought I saw him holding him up.
And I could be, you could be right. I could be misremembering, but.
Well, either way, that was on him, and he just, it was a smart play. It was. And he's been accused of.
And a big win. I mean, if they lose last night, you know, they're two down in the series and looking to lose the series the next night. A huge game to win.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so the thing about Puig, I've been saying it over and over, is that I don't see a circumstance where Puig's going to be willing to sign a contract extension before he gets to talk to every team. Maybe I'm wrong, and I have no inside knowledge of this. He was pretty vocal about wanting to get paid, and the fact that he started out the season so slow, maybe that'll soften him up in terms of being able to. I would attempt to. It depends on what the numbers are, obviously, but I would absolutely be trying to talk to his agent and get some idea of what it would take. And because I think he's a guy, you know, at age 28, you can keep him around. Sign him for a 3 or 4 year deal.
Would you go five?
I would go five. Yeah, I would go five. Absolutely. I mean, that, you know, that eliminates an issue, a hole you got to have to feel. Over the next few years. And I don't know that the Reds have anyone particularly ready to take that spot. Now, the other part of that question that we got was about a qualifying offer. And the thing I would do, I think almost unquestionably what I would do is if the Reds don't sign him to an extension before the end of the season and they aren't able to trade him, they may trade him by the end of the month. I don't know. They wouldn't trade Matt Harvey last year, so I'll be surprised if they trade Yasiel Puig. But
different front office now. I mean, you know, different mindset. Let's be honest here.
Fool me once, shame on me. Or shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I've been burned too many times.
Shame on somebody.
Anyway. Yeah, I won't get fooled again.
In the immortal words of Roger Daltrey.
So if they aren't able to sign him, though, and he wants to test the free agent market, I absolutely make him a qualifying offer. And how that works, for those of you that don't know, if the Reds make him a qualifying offer, essentially it's a one-year contract in the neighborhood of, it'd be around $18 million for next year. And if he takes it, you got him for a year. If he doesn't take it, then you get some compensation in the form of a draft pick from whoever signs him. I do that because I'll pay him $18 million next year. The Reds have so much money coming off the books. I'll pay him $18 million. And if you're not going to be able to sign him long-term, at least you've got him in right field there as sort of a gap to Taylor Trammell or to whoever else they're able to acquire that's going to be the long-term answer out there. So I think that if you're not able to sign him, I do look at making that qualifying offer and at least keeping him around one more year if possible. And if he goes somewhere else, if somebody pays him, okay, well, at least you get something out of it rather than just nothing if you just let him walk.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a no-brainer. And he's probably the only one of the guys in walk years that I would do that with.
Yeah, yeah. So, Yasiel Puig, bring it on, man. I got some of this recency bias. I watched him last night. Anyway, and he's been fun from day one. You know, I like having him in a Reds uniform. And
I hope he, at some point, though, I know he's going to drop a ball in right field.
Probably.
Because he doesn't catch the ball like you were taught to catch the ball.
You know what?
You know, he's always reaching out and snapping it and you know, basking in it. And it makes me a nervous wreck every time.
You know who else did that? Dave Parker back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Dave used to snap it.
Yeah.
Nice double play there.
JoJo Jammer at Win One Super Bowl. Win just one Super Bowl, asks JoJo Jammer.
He must be a Bengals fan.
No doubt about it. He asked,
and before we get off that, I did say on Twitter tonight, I think after the season, though, Puig could probably play some inside linebacker for the Bengals.
Probably. And probably wreck
somebody. He is a big man.
Yeah.
I mean, and quick. All I've ever seen him is on the baseball field, but he's a big man.
JoJo Jammer's question here is about Yasiel Puig. Could help the Bengals win one Super Bowl, I'm sure of it. Although I'm equally as certain that he's never played football in his life. Is Puig more valuable to the Reds as a long-term player or as a trade piece? I'm only asking because we have some young, controllable outfielders who project to be pretty good. Keep up your great work. I live in the Philippines and enjoy listening to you guys. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. He's a good follow on Twitter as well. To me, I don't see Puig being... I'm not sure any of these guys the Reds have on one-year deals are very good trade pieces right now. I don't see teams giving up a whole lot for 2 months.
Yeah, I think it depends on how you define very good trade piece. I don't think Puig is gonna buy us a major league ready guy that will help them next year. Do I think he might bring them a couple of pretty good A players or double A players? Maybe.
Yeah,
but man. I don't think he's gonna bring you a triple A guy that's gonna make the jump next year and be able to play right field.
Well, you have to find a taker, someone that wants to trade for him, and the teams that are willing to trade for a guy like that are limited to teams that are sort of in contention right now, and you have to hope one of them needs a right fielder really badly. I could see him being a not particularly valuable, but the Reds getting something of value back for him. But I'm at the point where I'm ready to. Let's ride this guy, and if we only get him for one more year on a qualifying offer, or not at all, okay. But I think I'm taking my chance on bringing him around because I don't know. He brings some excitement, brings some fun, and he's actually a pretty good player too. So I like having him on the team. So
I also think this falls into that buyer and seller argument too. And if you're not going to get guys that are going to really help you next year. Then if you clean house, after the trade deadline and the rest of the year they win 20 games and end up losing 85 or 90 games again, or if not more, because they traded half the team away, then I think everything you build up in the first half of this season is gone. All the positivity that you've got in the fan base is gone.
Yeah.
Because it makes it look like, well, we're rebuilding again.
Yeah, and no one wants to use that word.
No.
Ever again. So I don't know. That's where I stand on that. I agree with you.
I have a question because I've got the Reds game on here. How does Ryan Braun swing that? He looks like he swings the longest bat in baseball. It looks like a telephone pole.
He's done something to increase his strength, I imagine, so that he can swing that. Yeah. I don't know what. I'm not going to speculate on that, but hey, you want to answer some viewer mail questions?
I thought we already were.
Well, we're going to dig into them hot and heavy. We answered some that were part of our natural conversation on the topics we wanted to discuss, but now we've got some other topics under the hash brown viewer mail. And by the way, it was pointed out, I think Mike Flick on Twitter, pointed out that last week when you and Jason were talking, at the end of it, Jason said that you all don't need me, as you have seen, he said, which means, as you have seen, you must be viewers. So, Hashtag viewer mail. As always, these are actual letters from actual viewers.
Before we do this, I want to ask you a question.
Okay, let's hear it.
This goes back to one from last week. Top three baseball movies for you.
Top three, that was a good one. Yeah, you all, I know you got hammered a little bit about The Sandlot. I wouldn't put The Sandlot in my top three baseball movies, although I enjoy it.
I've never seen Sandlot, so.
It's a lot better if you're 9 years old. You know, it's one of those, but it's a pretty good movie, you know. I mean, it's got Wendy Peppercorn, which is, whew, and, you know, You're Killing Me Smalls, and it's a really fun movie. I like it. My top three baseball movies are going to be, I am going to go Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
And because I'm that.
I thought that was a favorite of yours.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm that, I've said it before, I'm sort of one of these gooey, sentimental baseball fans, you know, and that's one that has always appealed to me. Major League, you know, you mentioned that one as being your favorite, I think, or up there.
Yeah, I did. I think that movie, I'm not saying it's a great comedy, but I think it's hysterical.
Oh, it is. It's laugh out loud funny, and it's got a great story, you know, about a team.
My favorite line, let's not start a holy war here.
yeah, it's a good one. I need to watch that one again sometime. Probably 8 Men Out, I think, is probably up there for me.
I like that one a lot, too.
Really love 8 Men Out. Bull Durham, of course. You know, I don't know if I can narrow it down to three. I know I would not put on my top three the Kevin Costner one.
See, I like that one better than most people do. I like the baseball part of that.
Yeah, but, you know, I keep seeing Waterworld when I see Kevin Costner, so I couldn't get that.
Would you like Bull Durham?
Love Bull Durham. Fantastic.
Chad, Kevin Costner's in Bull Durham.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. But no, that was Crash Davis. That wasn't Kevin Costner.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
I like League of Their Own, too. I like that movie a lot.
That's definitely top three. That may be number one for me. That movie is fantastic. And it's one of those that, to this day, kind of like Major League, you can rewatch and rewatch and rewatch, and it never gets old to me.
Yeah, that's, in fact, I think I said that when I talked about it. There are any of those movies that we just talked to, most of them, if you're clicking around and they're on, you stop for a few minutes to watch a couple scenes.
Yeah.
Now, I Field of Dreams, I can blow right by. It does not strike a chord with me at all, and I can't explain it. Because most of my friends that are baseball fans are like you. They love that movie.
Yeah, it's great. It's not a listen, I'm a huge movie fan, as listeners of the podcast know. It's not a technically good movie. It's not one that
I don't like technically good movies.
well, that's true. I do.
I like movies that entertain me.
Well, that one is entertaining. If you're a baseball fan,
I saw Yesterday. Yesterday.
When? When did you see it?
I saw Yesterday. Yesterday.
Thank you.
That was not an echo. And it's a cute, fun little movie. I really enjoyed it.
You probably like all the comic book movies too.
Yeah, I do. I enjoy. I go see those with my son, though. So
I see them with my son as well. But some of them you got to kind of suffer through. I'm just begging to
some
be.
Are better than, it's like anything else. Some are better than others. Yeah,
none of them are technically good movies, but some of them are fun. A lot of them are fun, actually. All right, let's.
My guess is you and I would not agree on what is a technically good movie.
No, I'm sure we would not.
Yeah, you'd be wrong, and I'd be right, but we'll just go on from there.
I'm used to that. Mm-hmm. At patreon.com/redlegradio, where you can support the podcast, and thanks to all of you that do support us over there. Joseph Prince asks, based on Mr. Lack's eyeball test. Mr. Lack, wow, respect.
That's Mr. Lack to you.
Based on Mr. Lack's eyeball test, it seems the ball and strike calls have been worse this year than ever. While I doubt MLB would begin using the computer umpire, do you think there's a solution that could be implemented? Hash Brown listener mail. Joseph, I'm going to block you if you keep using that hashtag. No, I love you, Joseph. What do you think? Robot umpires?
Well, he's right. I do feel now, you know, and Chris has talked about this a number of times on the broadcast that he thinks since they've got the square up there or the rectangle up there, that that's what's led to a lot more of the arguing balls and strikes. But I think it also shows how bad some of the umpires been. And there's a Twitter feed that shows the ones that, you know, this pitch on so and so, they were 6 inches off of the plate on this strike. I think is it the Cape Cod League or the Atlantic League or somewhere where they're doing the robot umpires?
Oh, I don't know. I hadn't seen that. One of the wood bat leagues.
There was somewhere up on the East Coast. I thought that they were trying some of these new ideas of you know what baseball's thinking about. Now maybe it wasn't robot umpires. One of the I don't know if it was HBO Sports or somebody did a story on it a couple of years ago. I'll be honest, I'd have no problem with robot umpires for balls and strikes. Not one problem at all.
Well, I think that
I don't think it'll ever happen, but
here's what I would suggest: that the umpire's already holding the ball and strike counter in his hand. Have that be an electronic thing where it alerts you if it's in the zone or if it's out. And then you can let umpires call the, you know, plays at the plate and everything else.
Well, if you're going to do that, they're not doing anything. I mean, they're calling the plays at the plate, but I mean, they're going to have to be there for the plays at the plate anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So just have that guy, and that's how you know that it's a – I mean, he's the robot umpire.
I mean, but you could put him back there in a lawn chair and, you know.
I guess. Let me disagree with you about something, though. I think in some instances you're right about what that square has shown us, because there are a few umpires that miss calls repeatedly, but I would say way more often. I am amazed at how many calls these umpires get right on balls and strikes. You know, the top 90% of umpires, I can't tell you the number of times there's one that's like right on the line and they're calling it correctly. And I'm like, whoa, you know, that's pretty impressive. And we wouldn't have known before.
I would be curious to know year to year, since they've started using started tracking it, whether they're getting more right or more wrong. And you're never going to get that. I don't think you're ever going to get that information.
No, not publicly, but I'm the opposite of a lot of people, because I think that what I've learned is that umpires are doing a much better job calling balls and strikes than I realized. Now, I'm not talking about the guys like Angel Hernandez, who is literally the worst umpire in the history of baseball. No, he's the worst official in the history of all organized sports. But I think there's some bad ones like him. But most of these umpires, I think, are actually doing a pretty darn good job. And that's what I've taken away from this. So, but
it's not an easy job.
It's impossible. Have you tried to do it?
I couldn't even imagine.
Oh, I've tried it, you know, just on local level. And it's just, I did it one time. And I said, I'm not doing this again. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So, anyway, good question, Joseph. Rich Thompson has a question. Now, this is... I told you, but before we went on, that none of the questions this week were any of these outside of Reds baseball questions. And
you lied?
Well, I didn't lie at the time, but Rich got his question in just before press time here. And so you're not ready on this one. I'm not particularly ready either, but I do want to answer it because it's a very good question. And I'm sure you'll be able to come up with an answer to this one pretty quickly. As a reminder, any questions you ask us for viewer mail, it can be about the Reds, but it doesn't have to be. It can be about literally anything. Rich asks at patreon.com/redlegradio, if you could go back in time and see one of sports' greatest moments live, what would it be? Mine would be to see the Miracle on Ice at the 1980 Winter Olympics. If you could go back in time, see one of sports' greatest moments live, what would it be, Bill? Like, you got something on the top of your head that's you're itching to see, to say?
Well, I like your answer a lot. And I mean... You're talking about attending live. I mean, I saw the Miracle on Ice.
Yeah, that's Rich's answer was Miracle on Ice.
Oh, I thought that was yours. I like that answer.
That's a good answer. Yeah, but we're talking being live in the arena, in the stadium.
In the stadium.
Well, let me tell you what mine is while you think of what yours might be.
Okay.
I think mine probably is, what year was it? 1930-whatever Olympics. Jesse Owens. Winning the gold medals in front of Hitler. I mean, to me, that would have been amazing to be in that arena and in that under those circumstances and see him just blow away the competition and put the lie to Hitler's theories. That's probably where I would go. I mean, I'd like to see the 1919 World Series, the Reds. You know, I'd like to see the Big Red Machine. I'd like to be in that Game Six. You know, that's up there. But I don't know. Jesse Owens is where I'm going to go.
That's pretty strong. I think I would go Ali Liston first fight.
Oh. Now, was that the Thrilla in Manila?
No, no. Ali Liston.
Oh, that was only one fight. Yeah.
No, the Thrilla in Manila was Ali Frazier 3.
Ali Frazier. See, you're ahead of my time, but that would have been a great one.
Liston was when Ali won, actually it was Cassius Clay Liston, when he won the title the first time.
So that wasn't the rope-a-dope.
No, that was Foreman. That was the Rumble in the Jungle.
Ah, that's what I meant. The Rumble in the Jungle, yes. So Cassius Clay and Sonny Liston.
Sonny Liston won. Of course, then there was a rematch. I think it was like 6 or 8 months later, and Clay knocked him out in the first round with the invisible punch.
Ah, yes.
The famous picture of Ali standing over, of Clay standing over Liston is the one that's from the first fight. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's from the second fight. I think mine would be Clay Liston one.
That picture of him standing over, listen, that is the single image in the history of any sport. To me, that's the most iconic.
You know the other that comes to my mind is Nicholas's last win at the Masters.
Oh, yeah. 46 years old.
I was watching that on television, but it would have been pretty cool to be there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that's another one. What's the guy's name? I'd like to have been there at the greatest game ever played. Oh, gosh. What was that guy's name? Golf tournament. Anyway, we just had another question come in at patreon.com/redlegradio. Matt Sheary asks, would you rather get a paper cut between your fingers every time you touch paper or bite your tongue every time you eat something? That's an easy one, man.
I'll take the paper one because I can stay away from paper.
I can stay away from paper, and I would, although I touch a lot of paper
in my life. If you've ever seen me, you know I don't stay away from food.
Exactly. Well, if you did, you wouldn't do it very long. So these are the types of questions.
I'd be a little more svelte if I bit my tongue all the time.
That's a good point. Might make me get in shape. Good question. We have the best viewers. There's just no question about it. All right.
I like this. Fun.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Let's see what else we've got here. David Moore _WV. This asks on Twitter, twitter.com/redlegradio. This is David from Best Virginia. Best Virginia, he said. What do you think about that, Bill?
Is this your next door neighbor?
Well, West Virginia is our next door neighbor.
I know.
I've been seeing Francisco.
I thought you said Best Virginia.
Yeah, he's claiming that West Virginia is, and I did say that a couple podcasts ago, so I'm going to have to go
with
it.
Yes, you did. That was with me. Yes, yeah. You did.
So I'm going to go with it. You're right, David. I'm from Less Virginia or something. I've been seeing Francisco Lindor's name come up in trade possibilities with the Reds. Think that'll happen. What we have to give up to get him. I'm okay with giving up anybody for him. #ViewerMail. Now, I mentioned earlier today, I was listening to the Red Reporter podcast. They've relaunched their podcast and they do a good job with it. And you should all go listen to the Red Reporter podcast. Golden era for Reds podcasts right now that we need to talk about at some time. But a lot of good ones out there. But that one, Wick Terrell, our buddy from Red Reporter, Wick Terrell, mentioned that the Indians are maybe tearing things down soon. And wow, what would it take to get Francisco Lindor? And I almost drove off the road. I mean, for those of you that haven't been paying attention, Francisco Lindor is unbelievable. He's 25 years old. He's made the last 4 All-Star teams, including this year. He's just an elite, elite shortstop. And, you know, for example, he was almost an eight-win player last year, 8 wins above replacement.
He won his first Gold Glove at 22.
Yeah, yeah. And last year at 24, he put up 8 wins above replacement. I mean, this guy's unbelievable. And so I got to thinking, man, what would you give up for that guy? Because after this year, he's making almost $11 million right now, arbitration eligible. But he can't, after this season, he's still under team control for 2 more seasons. And my answer to what I would give up for Francisco Lindor, pretty much anything.
It would depend on whether you could get him signed to a deal when you brought him over.
Even if you couldn't,
You'd clear out the minor league system for 2 years for him?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. For the next 2 years, when everybody else is kind of coalescing around him, he could be the piece that puts them over the top. Yes, absolutely. I would wipe out the farm system for him.
Puig just hit a ball that almost tore the glove off the pitcher's hand.
Did it hurt the poor pitcher?
Well, no, but they had to replace the ball because it had a flat spot on it.
Oh, why does Puig keep doing things that are really
funny? He's just destructive. He's just a destructive young man.
He's a destructive young man. Reds clinging to a 1-0 lead, I see.
Yeah, and Sonny Gray pitched through 7.
Wow. Sonny Gray, man. Love that guy. See, he's around the next 3 years.
Except I predicted he'd be an all-star this year, so maybe I'll be off by a year.
Yeah. No, he's been fine. I got no issues with Sonny Gray. He's been good. But, yeah, with respect to a guy like Lindor, those guys don't grow on trees. And if you only have him for the next 2 years, well, okay. But that's 2 years. That's a long time. And
2-0.
And there you go. Maybe you can get him signed. But if not, you know, I trade for him. Tether Trammell, fine. Hunter Green, fine. Jonathan India, fine. Whatever. Whoever you want.
Three of them?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'd trade all three of them for Francisco Lindor. Am I crazy?
I don't know. For 2 years, that's a lot. That's a lot to give up for 2 years. If I'm going to empty my farm system, I want more than 2 years of control.
2 years is a long time, and not a single one of those guys that we just mentioned, am I sure any of them are going to play in the major leagues?
Left groin tightness for Scooter Gennett.
Oh. And that was, oh, man. Well, maybe it's maybe it's a precautionary thing. You know,
hopefully.
Yeah.
So, I'd put him on the 10-day DL tonight.
Yeah. Hey, why don't you do me a favor, Bill? Before the next time you're on the podcast, just keep an eye on Scooter Gennett's groin for us.
No, I'm going to be out of town. Sorry.
Okay. Not going to do that. All right. What other viewer mail questions we got? That's a good question, David, from Best Virginia.
Yes, it is.
I'd give up anybody for him. I mean, I would. I think 2 years is a long time. That's, everybody's like, well, we got to play for the future. Whatever. This is the present. And he would change this organization. Is it going to happen? No. And that was one of his questions. Think it'll happen? No, I don't. But if Lindor becomes available and the Reds can get him for the next 2.5 years, you know, get him right now, they better be at least in on the discussions.
Well, one thing though I want to talk about, though, real quick, is you said if the Indians decide to break up, they really already did that. They kind of did that in the offseason.
They
unloaded about half of their offense.
They unloaded the expensive ones. And that's the thing. Lindor is not expensive yet. But evidently their owner, GM, someone made some kind of comment about, enjoy him now or something. I don't – Wick referenced that. I'm not sure exactly what was said. I need to find that. But if he's actually available, man, I would go all out to get that guy. But then again, there's going to be 28 other teams going all out to get that guy too. That's how good he is.
Yeah.
Jordan Barhorst, at Jordan Barhorst on Twitter, asks – I want MLB to institute promotion, relegation, and loan windows. How do we get there? And what that means for those of you that aren't familiar with European football, also known as soccer here in the States. For example, the Premier League in English soccer and all over Europe, the bottom three teams in the standings at the end of the season drop down to essentially the minor leagues. And the top three teams in the top minor league come up to the Premier League. So it would essentially be that at some point in the last 3 years, the Reds would have dropped down to into AAA and someone would have been promoted up. I think it's great. It would force every major league owner to try as hard as he could to put a winning team on the field every single year so that you don't get dropped down to AAA. The only way to do it is what Doug Gray responded on Twitter, which is time travel. It had to have been done years ago. It could have been done in baseball because it's just like in English soccer. There's so many teams. Every town's got a team. And you can work your way all the way up. It's the same way in America with all the minor league teams. It could have been done years ago. It wasn't. It's never going to happen. But I think it would be great because it would force – you couldn't tank. There would be no such thing as tanking anymore. So, anyway, anything you want to say about that? I know you're not a big soccer guy.
No.
But
I don't have anything I don't have anything to say to that.
What about the U.S. women's national team?
In the hopefully they'll win on my birthday.
Now we're talking World Cup final this weekend. Can't wait. Oh, they're playing fantastic. Love that bunch. Let's see now. What else do we have on for some viewer mail? Tyler Bricky asks, Tyler Bricky at @theheavy_217. I personally feel like the Reds should retire the number 30 for both Griffey Jr. and Sr. If you put their accomplishments as members of the Reds together, I think they're very deserving. What do you think? Hashtag viewer mail. No.
I think it's a terrible idea.
Wow. Don't mince words here, Bill.
Griffey Sr. was a good player. He was never a great Reds player. And Jr. was past his prime when he got here. There's a lot of guys whose numbers I'd retire long before we got to them.
You're awful hostile tonight, Bill.
No, I'm not. I just think that's a bad idea.
I would not retire the number 30 for both of them. I think that they're special, the fact that they're both Reds, and they both were pretty good as Reds. And I think that what we have is you have two guys that are members of the Reds Hall of Fame, as they should be, and that's how they're honored with the Reds. A retirement should be something more special and reserved for just kind of the inner circle. And so that's why I wouldn't. I think the Reds have probably retired. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I started to say, I'm not going to say it because you'll yell at me. Tyler had another question.
Say they retired enough numbers?
No, I think I've retired too many. There's one or two that I wouldn't have retired.
Wouldn't you have retired?
No.
Not curious.
No, I'm not doing this.
I probably wouldn't have retired Concepcion.
Oh, I thought you were going to yell at me. That's who I was going to say. I thought you'd yell at me because you're the Big Red Machine guy.
Yeah, but I'm also a guy that I don't think Davey can, you know, most people of my era think that Concepcion should be in the Hall of Fame, and there's no way in the world he should be in the Hall of Fame.
No,
he'd be in the Hall of very, very good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think his case for why his number's retired is a pretty strong one, actually. I don't think I would have done it, but I mean, he played, 18 years, all with the Reds. He was the captain, you know, only been one captain since. Yeah, you know, I'm not jumping up screaming about it. He's one of the best Reds ever, but I probably wouldn't. Tyler also asked, give me an over-under for All-Star Game appearances for these pitchers as members of the Reds. And he had a guess for all of them. I'm going to see what you would say first. Luis Castillo, Sonny Gray, and Tyler Malley. All-Star Game appearances for each of those guys.
In their careers?
In their careers as members of the Reds.
I would say Castillo the most, and I don't know what the number would be, Gray, and then Malley. I don't know that Malley will ever be an All-Star pitcher.
Yeah, he says Castillo 3, Gray 1, Malley 1. I can see Castillo 3. He's got that much talent. He's just 26. He's already made one. Gray, I think, has a good chance. He stands a good chance. I think we're seeing a real Sonny Gray here, and I would not be surprised. I don't know that he will, but I wouldn't be surprised to give him one. You know, Malley could. He's got such a specific skill set. You could see him rolling off a, you know, first 2 months of the season where he's just, you know, putting the ball wherever he wants and sneaks on an All-Star team. He's more of a 2-3 starter.
Kind of a Jack Armstrong for, you know, first half.
Yeah, I started to say that, but I think he's a lot more talented than Jack Armstrong ever was. But I just think he's a 2 or 3 type starter, and that's a valuable type player. I just don't know that I see him as an All-Star. Any other quick viewer mail questions here? Let me see here.
They just said that the groin thing with Scooter, whichever one he was on the DL for, it's the other side of the groin.
That does not sound promising at all.
No, it doesn't.
Can you tell us a little more about the various sides of Scooter Gennett's groin, Bill?
Well, I never understood that when they talk about that because I've only got one groin.
All righty. I think that's a good place to end this one here tonight.
We wanted to talk about Barry Larkin.
We do need to talk about that quickly. I'm glad you mentioned that because I almost forgot to talk about it. You texted me, you do this occasionally with just some random factoid. And why don't you go ahead and tell us what that where that conversation led.
First thing is, if you ever want to just find some weird stuff, look at things, just go out on Baseball Reference and just poke around. And I was looking, I don't even know what made me look at this. I was looking at, I think it was John Fay was on Twitter talking to somebody about somebody that caught for the Reds for like an inning, and they were talking about whether it was bench or Concepcion, and it turned out it wasn't either. But and I got to looking at who, you know, what other positions they played, and I looked at Larkin, and his rookie year, you know, when he was fighting with Stillwell at the very beginning for playing time, he played three games at second base. After 1980, after those three games in 1986, other than three times when he DH'd, every game Barry Larkin played for the rest of his career was at shortstop. That's 2,085 games minus 356. So, you know, a whole bunch of games.
And I told you that didn't really surprise me because you got a gold glove shortstop. Once he's earned the position, why would you put him somewhere else? But then you dropped a David Concepcion on me.
Yeah, then I looked at Concepcion. And even, you know, well, late in his career, he didn't pull, you know, in his last year, he only played 13 games at shortstop. But all through his career, he played some third base. 1984, he played 54 games at third base. You know, and even early in his career, when, you know, he played some second base, he played some third base, he played a little bit of outfield. 71, he played five games in center field.
Sparky, man. Thinking outside the box.
Sparky, move him around, and which got us to laughing about something else was if you ever want to see something really interesting, look at the standard fielding on Johnny Bench.
Johnny Bench only played catcher, right, until late in his career. He played third base late in his career, but he only played catcher up until then, right?
Well, the first year he won the MVP.
1970.
Yep. He played 20. He started 17 games in the outfield, including two in center field.
He started two games in center field. I mean, you can't. I can't even fathom that.
I mean, you know, as I said to you when we were texting about this, he was an athlete.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Can you imagine Tucker Barnhart starting in center field? No.
Well, he you have to be so tall to get on the ride.
I guess the way I look at it is,
you know, we love you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm never going to complain about Jesse Winker playing center field ever again because Johnny Bench played there. All right. You got anything else for us, Bill Lack?
Nope.
All right. This has been episode number 275 of Red Leg Nation Radio. Thanks for joining us once again for another fun ride on the roller coaster that is the Cincinnati Reds. You can subscribe. You know how to subscribe to the podcast. We're everywhere you subscribe to podcasts. We're there. Go check us out at redlegnationradio.com. All our prior episodes, all 275 episodes, you'll be able to find those. Listen to them if you want. Get us whatever podcast app you have. Use that. You'll find us. He's at Bill Redleg N. I'm at Dotson C. We are at Redleg Radio on Twitter. And you can find us at Redleg Nation and redlegnation.com, where we've been talking about the Reds every single day since 2005. Bill, always good talking to you, buddy.
Always enjoy it, my friend.
All right, for Bill Lack and Scooter Jeanette's groin, this is Chad Dotson saying,
is that his left or his right groin?
So long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app and join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.